Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
So what would happen if you could take the collective brain power of MIT and apply it to the challenges of climate change? The university actually found out 2 years ago now. The school launched the Climate Grand Challenges competition. It invited teams from across MIT to try, quote, unraveling some of the toughest unsolved climate problems and bringing high-impact science-based solutions to the world on an accelerated basis, end quote. Well, after interest from more than 100 teams across 90% of the university's departments, five are moving forward as winners. Joining us now, Professor Richard Lester, MIT Associate Provost for International Activities and one of the creators and judges of the challenge, as well as Professor Noel Ackley-Saline, Director of the Technology and Policy Program at MIT, one of the challenge's five awardees. So, Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
And Noel, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
So Noel, I'm going to start with you because I wonder it's a big problem, right? So I wonder, can you in a nutshell give us your big answer, the big project you're trying to do?
Well, our project works on climate modeling and addresses climate modeling as a way of thinking about how you can provide information on climate change to everyone.
So modeling is, okay, so if the temperature rises this much, then what happens to the water, for example?
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's a wide range of climate models that already exist. But a lot of those models have helped us answer questions that we have until now. But there's really a need to make climate change models address the needs of the future and also make them accessible to a wide range of people across the world. Climate models shouldn't just be accessible to those who have access to a supercomputer. So our project takes an effort that was started by MIT and Caltech at a new generation of climate models and tries to make that accessible to a wide range of users, bringing that climate information to stakeholders on the ground by developing new ways of running those climate models that take into account the latest in artificial intelligence and computation.
So if a local coastal town wanted to say, I want to model what sea level rise of 4 inches means for our local neighborhoods, they can access this MIT modeling program and do that on their own.
Exactly. The idea is that we should make climate models just as accessible as the kind of apps that you use on your phone to predict the weather.
Okay.
So right now, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of institutional knowledge to get that information from a climate model in a way that a coastal community, for example, could use. But what we want to do is make that more democratized, make that information accessible and make the assumptions that go into those models something that users can alter.
So, Richard, is that what you had in mind 2 years ago when this thing launches? Was that the kind of thing you thought was going to come your way?
We didn't know what was going to come our way when we put the call out. What we hoped would come our way was that the MIT faculty would be mobilized around this enormous problem and finding solutions that we think of as swing for the fences solutions to the really tough problems that if we don't solve them, we're not going to solve the climate challenge. We got, as you said, almost 100 ideas from almost 400 faculty, which is about a third of the MIT faculty. And among that group were some really terrific ideas.
So, well, first, give us a couple of the other really terrific ideas.
Well, two really important problems that we have to solve are agriculture and heavy industry. Agriculture is accounts for about a quarter of global emissions. And a big part of that is fertilizer. Making it and moving it around the world is a huge source of emissions. So if we can develop crops and soil bacteria that are capable of absorbing nitrogen from the air directly without having to apply it in the form of the fertilizer that we make in factories.
So self-fertilizing, basically.
Self-fertilizing, a very big deal, a very tough problem. It's a grand challenge, but another really important problem. Another area, of course, is how to make crops more resilient in the face of the climate change that we're facing, that whatever we do, we're going to have to deal with. So that's another of these projects. Repowering huge industries, cement, steel, ammonia, ethylene, these are enormous industries that require huge amounts of, right now, fossil fuels to make them. Can we use electricity instead, low-carbon electricity, to make these materials in the enormous quantities that the world consumes?
So that's helpful. It kind of gets our head around the magnitude and scale of the problem and the types of scientific answers people are going for. I think the thing that's kind of hanging in a bubble over my head, Richard and Noelle, and I'll ask you both this, is we know how serious the problem is. We know there's brain power at MIT. Why did it take a grand challenge? Why weren't 100 faculty groups across 90% of the departments in the university working on this anyway? What's the structural thing that made something like a grand challenge necessary?
So if I may just start, I think Noelle will probably want to add. In fact, many faculty and students and staff at MIT have been working on this problem for decades. When I first came to MIT in the late 70s, I was actually inspired by a professor in the meteorology department, as it then was, who made some of the first predictions of the impact of carbon dioxide increases on the global temperature. So we have been working on this problem for a long time. What we wanted to do with Climate Grand Challenges was to, in a sense, allow the faculty to swing for the fences on this problem.
And is that what it felt like, Noelle?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that, to me, the Grand Challenges effort really represents is that we're kind of at a frame shift in thinking about the climate problem. It's not just a problem that some people can work on. The climate challenge is a whole of society challenge, and therefore it really has to be a whole of MIT challenge. And I think the Climate Grand Challenges effort really highlighted the fact that, yes, individual faculty members have been working on climate, some of them more than others, but we really need an institutional effort that coalesces research and action on climate change in order to address the magnitude of the problem.
So I've heard the modeling that you're doing is referring to creating a digital twin of planet Earth. Is that a fair description?
That's a fair description, yes. Thinking about using a model to really explore different kinds of alternative futures. And part of the effort is to make what we're calling digital cousins as well. So representations of those digital twins that individual users can use and tailor to their own needs.
So I guess I'm wondering, does all the technology exist for that? Or is there something new you have to invent or create in order to get to the point where you can do this?
Well, both and. There's a lot of existing knowledge about how the climate system works and a lot of existing expertise at MIT and elsewhere in computer science and different algorithms. Putting that together is really the challenge. And doing that in a way that addresses the needs of stakeholders and people on the ground who can actually use it, and designing those different models in ways that they can be effective
is
one of the big challenges.
So is there a stakeholder input process that you're using?
Absolutely. We're going to be working with a few key areas that we're in the process of defining. One of those is likely going to be working with cities or thinking about air quality and heat impacts to really make sure that the information that these models are providing are information that can be put into practice and used on the ground.
And just briefly, you said at the beginning, new questions, right? So what's one new question that this model will be able to answer that we weren't asking 10 years ago?
Well, I think one of the new questions actually does have to do with that that joint heat and air pollution impact. What can cities do to help adapt to the health impacts that are going to be happening in a few decades with increased exposure to heat and exposure to air pollution at the same time? Where are the particular regions that are going to be the most impacted, and can we identify those in a quick way?
So, Richard, you have these five winners. What happens to and for them at this stage?
Well, they're going to be launched next month, and MIT is providing support to allow them to get started.
Financial support.
And these are projects, most of which will be five-year projects. We hope to see results coming out well before the end of the 5 years. But critically, we want to be able to draw on the MIT innovation ecosystem that has been developed over many years to help us commercialize a range of other technologies. We want to draw on that ecosystem to work with partners in industry, in finance, in nonprofit, in government, to move these ideas and technologies into practice as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And Noel, for you, you'll know you've succeeded if X.
If we have a working model that is used by an end user and makes their climate decision-making better.
And when do you think you can do that?
We're hoping within the 5 years we'll have a prototype. You know, we have a big team that we're assembling, and with the support of MIT, students and faculty working together, we're looking forward to getting started.
And Richard, in a sentence, success for you is what?
Success is if we can inspire a new generation of students to roll up their sleeves, put their shoulders to the wheel, and help us solve this problem.
All right. That's Professor Richard Lester, MIT Associate Provost for International Activities, and Professor Noel Eckley-Saleen, Director of the Technology and Policy Program at MIT. Congratulations, and thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.